Praise the Lord. It's good to see you. One thing you can say about me is I'm more faithful than the sun. Or you can say I'm as faithful as rain. Whichever way you choose to put it. I want to remind you just very quickly. You have this sign up out there in the Welcome Center, Brother, Sister Tracy and Vince. Okay. Well, you can put something out there eventually. Okay, they're going to have something out there for this Money God's Way. And it would probably be wise, especially in a difficult economy. A lot of people never really learn to manage or balance money. Take advantage of their efforts and their willingness to invest in this. And I do need to talk to you afterwards. I have somebody else, not from our church, that is interested in looking at this material. And then the last thing I'll remind you, I want to thank you for those of you who are getting your building fund pledges in. I know there are those that say they need to make payments. It's not a problem. But if you don't have to make payments, if you can pull that from somewhere and pay yourself back, we had to make these changes on the building, and the cost has already jumped. And so we're working on trying to see if we can mitigate some of that and bring it back down. But we'll get there. But there's a lot of other things we want to do when we do this project. We want to re-roof this building. Just so you know, I had one estimate of about $160,000 just to re-roof this building. Now, that was some big company. There's no way in the world I'd pay that. But in about a year and a half, the insurance company is going to mandate we do it or cancel our insurance. So it needs to be done. We're going to wind up having to buy new chairs. That's probably, you don't want to know. It's going to be a lot because we have to, in the new building, we have to anchor the seating down. So we're going to anchor the seating down. But we have to buy at least 300 chairs that anchor into the concrete. So we'll get there. God will help us. Thank you, everybody that has really, really gotten on board. We appreciate it very much. And the Lord will help us. Yes, I did have a bunch of people call me tonight. They had band concerts, choir concerts, mandatory board meetings. They said, I presume it's for fair. I thought about that. Now, most of the folks that aren't here tonight, they're faithful, so I'm not picking on them. But I thought, what if I made church mandatory? I don't know what's up with these mandatory choir and band concerts anymore. But me and mandatory band concerts are going to butt heads. Now, again, most of those that went to those tonight, they're faithful. So I'm not picking on them. But really, when you think about it, though, the school can mandate something and we run. But the church can't mandate. Well, it's because it's a grade pastor. I understand that. I'd be like, listen, you can mandate till Jesus comes. My kids are in church on Wednesday, so figure out another plan. I guarantee you they'd accommodate. That's just me. I'm not like everybody else. I know some of y'all are like, that's why we homeschool. Well, you might be smarter than me, to be honest with you. I don't know. We've rethought that a while for now. We thought maybe we should have. I don't know. But anyway, let me give to you what's on my heart tonight. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Oh, we do have Link Group coming up. Not this Sunday, but the following, correct? The 24th? At that Link Group, we're going to have set up in the fellowship hall. We're going to, actually, I think, where's Jasmine? I think she's next door. They might be out there. Does anybody know she printed up those questionnaires for me? She's supposed to have done it. Can you run over and find out for me, Colin? Ask if she printed up those questionnaires and put them out in the Welcome Center. between then and link group, I would like you to fill this in about 20, 30 questions, 40 questions. Just check mark. Yes, no, yes, no. And what we're going to do is we're gonna gauge everybody's strengths, their weaknesses, where they feel passionate about, so we can try and direct you into an area of activity within the church that you'll feel good about. That's the purpose of it. So now, listen, some of y'all are good at saying no, so fill it out anyway. And then if I come to you, I don't want to do that. Okay, then we'll get on with life, but at least fill it out for me. That's all. Are those out in the foyer? Okay, they will be by the end of service. So you can start grabbing them. Please don't take them home and lose them. Please, I want these back. Hebrews 3:13. I don't know that I'm forgetting anything. So this is what it looks like. It's 24 questions. They're very simple, like the first category. I feel most energized when I am, and it gives you four options. Second one, when I arrive early to church, I naturally, some of you have to skip that section. So anyway, it's just to gauge your strengths and weaknesses so we're going to work very hard to get people involved where they feel very passionate. Jocelyn, it's very good to see you tonight. You know, most of you don't, some of you will not remember Jody Kemsky, Brenda. But Jody's been on my heart. I called her and talked to her for a while today. I want you to pray for those that have left the church for whatever reason. Normally it all happens, and she told me she loves me and she misses everybody and everything, and she cried a little bit. But I just want you to pray for these people that have left. I really feel like God's trying to reach for people before he comes back for his church. Hebrews 3:13, one verse, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I would like to preach you for a few moments today on the topic, stay off the fence. Stay off the fence. I think he already prayed. Lord, bless this word, we pray. God, have your way in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated. A couple things I'll point out there very quickly, and don't let me lose you too fast already. Exhort, call near, call out. It would be like me saying, Colin, be careful. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're saying. Watch what you're doing. I'm going to ask all the teenagers to pay attention to me tonight. I need you on board with me. He said, lest if by chance or so you are not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So number one, the only way people fall away from God is they get hard and callous over time. You don't realize always what's happening. You don't understand it until one day you have no emotions left. You have no desire to serve God. Now I'm going to dig into this thing really fast. If you're gung-ho about going to concerts, but you're not gung-ho about going to youth camp, there's already a problem. There's an imbalance. If you're gung-ho about going to school activities, but you're not gung-ho about going to camp, there's a problem. And I'm exhorting you today, I'm calling you out, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness. It will deceive you of sin. The 17th century, the longest reigning king of France's history, 72 years, King Louis the 14th. 72 years, he declared France an absolute monarchy. He said at one point, he said, I am the state. That's the type of person that he was. Well, any monarchy probably is right in line with that. One day he begins to develop this lower pain or this pain in the lower part of his body, very excruciating pain. He was unable to really even function, and they had to operate on him, but there was no anesthesia, so they cut him open right in the middle of his room one day. They said you could hear his screams through the castle in order to try and fix whatever was going wrong. They said he was never the same following the surgery, and the wound healed really poorly, and it was never right again, and it hurt him just to sit. Anytime he sat, it would hurt him to sit. So what he did was he made it a habit of just walking all the time. But he didn't just walk. What he did when he walked, he had to stand straight and he had to walk stiff. And so he made it a habit of walking like this because it wouldn't hurt him. And for the rest of his life, that's the way he walked. The problem was all of his courtiers in the court, they didn't understand what was happening, and they thought it was a new thing for all the royal people and all the uppity people and whatever you want to call them. And so after that time, everybody in his kingdom that was privy to his court, they all started walking like this. They thought it was the latest and the greatest thing, and they wanted to be like the king. And so before you know it, everybody that was even closely associated, that was in the king's court at any time, they all just walked around like this. None of them knowing or realizing at all why he walked like that. And I would probably say nobody cared. They just thought, this is the latest and the greatest. This is what's cool. It's what everybody's doing, and so we need to do it. Now, as much as we laugh about that and as ridiculous as we call it, we're no different at all. At all. Elvis Presley, when he would walk out on the stage, he would get in a stance and he would go like this, like he's getting ready, and the crowd would go nuts. Just nuts. Just because he did that. There's a young man, I don't even know his name, don't even care to know his name. He can't be 20 years old. I watched his video lately. He walks out on the stage, and I mean, obviously he's just, I don't even understand. I mean, and he walks out, and he goes like this, and all these little girls, because parents are dumb and let their girls go to these things, they're all there, and all of a sudden he goes like this. 1, 2, 3, and they just went nuts. I mean, they just went nuts. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, we're hopeless. We have no future in the United States of America. It went from 2, and I'm not exaggerating this, and you go nuts. Now, if I could ask a young lady here that might not, any of you young ladies know this? Okay, then what is it? Well, obviously it's stupid. What am I saying? People become enamored and captivated by things we don't even understand. We get on bandwagons that we don't even know where the bandwagon's going. We don't know where it started. We don't have a clue, but we don't care because it's the bandwagon. It is this deceitfulness of sin that causes people to become hardened in their relationship with God. And it's in one way or another, it's taking over our world. I mean, give me a little help here. From every latest, greatest trend fashion, everybody starts wearing, and kids, we love you. We probably did it too, I'm quite certain. But, well, Mommy, everybody's buying them. Well, my God, then we should just go buy it. We should just go buy it. Do you know in the mid 15th, 16th century, do you know that in England, royals had human feces imported from other parts of the world, and they used that to brush their teeth? See, what people don't understand, during that day, it was a lot more vile than what you can imagine. Anne Boleyn, during her coronation, she had a platform built. And she stood on the platform for hours. Below the platform was two of her maids who had a bucket and a sponge. And she just relieved herself whenever she had to go the whole time she stood there. And they just cleaned her up underneath without anybody even knowing she was there. They didn't have enough toilets, so it's a fact. In the king's court, you would go find a corner and you just urinate because there were not toilets. It was very vile, and it wasn't clean. Nothing was sanitary about it. And I'm just giving you just a few little snidbits. I don't know why I told you that. There was a reason. But what I'm saying is fads, fashions, you know, just because somebody else does it. And I understand, you have to understand the spirit behind that. There's a spirit behind that that makes you feel completely ostracized and left out if you're not doing it too. And so what's happening, and I believe it's worse now than ever, is we are falling into things and we're becoming hardened. Our walk with God is becoming hardened over silly stuff. Things we don't even realize. Well, certainly nobody loses their walk with God over wanting a pair of jeans. Certainly nobody loses their walk with God because they want to go to a concert. I'm not preaching against concerts right now. Certainly nobody loses their walk with God because, you know, they want to hang out with this group of friends. But we can become hardened, and the Bible says exhort each other daily, every day. Every day, every day, every day. Why? Because it only takes one day to cause someone to begin to forget who they are supposed to be in Jesus Christ. It only takes one day for a teenager to get wrapped up in the wrong crowds with the wrong people until when all is said and done, their life is completely in shambles. They have no walk with God. They're on their way to hell and don't even know it or realize it. Every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust and enticed. No matter what you say, no matter how much peer pressure there is, the Bible says ultimately it is our own fleshly desires that cause us to grab a hold of that rope and pull it in. And so we don't know why, but we do it. We become enamored. We become captivated. And I am concerned today that the church is getting roped into worldliness, and they either don't see it or they don't care. My wife asked me a question the other day that I'm going to present to you. And she said, "Who's on fire for God?" She said, "Where's our on fire students, our teens? Who are they? Do we have them?" She didn't say we don't. Who's on fire? Who is absolutely, insanely sold out? I'm not saying you're not. But where are you? Where are our young people? I'm not saying you're not there. I understand things happen. Where are young people that are not trying to hang out with the wrong crowds and the right crowds on Friday night? Where are our adults that aren't trying to watch worldly stuff then and come into church and listen to godly stuff when they're there? If you knew the things that I know, if you were privy to the things that I am privy to, that people go through, people that you look up to and you admire and sin they wrap themselves up in, you'd be shocked. I'm not supposed to preach about sin anymore, though, right? Because it hurts people's feelings. Are you trying to rub it in, Pastor? No, I'm trying to bring us to a reality check here. We cannot allow ourselves in the middle of where we are, not just a building program, but trying to advance and go where God's trying to take us and trying to do what God has called us to do. But we can't let ourselves in the middle of all this get caught up in nonsense until we're just a cold walking zombie of our once self. I have a question for you. I'm going to just be transparent for a couple minutes, all right? Since when did this become worship at the altar? Since when did that become worship? You say, well, Pastor, you're being cruel. No, I'm just trying to be real. Exhort one another. That's what I'm doing. Daily. Lest they be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You don't have to be going out there and doing all the wrong stuff to be a sinner. You can just be not doing the right stuff that you know you should be doing. And the Bible says it makes you a sinner. It doesn't make us a heathen. It doesn't make us an outcast. It just means we've got to pinch ourselves and wake ourselves up. And we got to realize what's happening to us. In Genesis, you don't have these scriptures, don't bother putting them up. In Genesis 13, 12, speaking of Lot, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You can't pitch your tent towards sin and think it's going to work out in the long run. You can't lean this way more than you do this way and think you're going to be just fine. Listen, I've had more people over the years tell me, don't worry about me, and they're not here. Don't ever tell me, and I'm not being funny, don't worry about me. If I come to you, then what you need to say is, all right, I guess if you've come, you better be worried. Why? Exhort one another daily. All I'm trying to do is be obedient to the word. Lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin until we find ourselves living a lie with secrets that nobody knows about. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm sick and tired of girls getting married in white dresses when they shouldn't be wearing a white dress. I'm just going to say it out loud now. I'm going to say the nasty things out loud. But you know what? As a society, we just have come to the place where we coddle everything. Everything and everybody. Oh, well, honey, you just don't know, and you don't know what they're going through. And you know, don't give me that nonsense. You know the word. I know the word. We know what's right and wrong. We know what God expects of us. My God, women out there married 3-4 times having a wedding and still wearing white dresses. That's an offense to women that keep their purity until the day they walk down the aisle. And I know I'm being filmed. It's all right. At some point, you got to come out and you got to hit a few devils in the teeth. And I realize there are people don't. That's okay. That's all right. Do you know in the 16th century, if you can't tell, I'm pretty much addicted to that time frame of life. Do you know that there was a time? Now I'm not making this stuff up. There was a time when marriage was so sacred in relationships that even dating couples, they didn't hold hands, they never kissed, they never hugged, they didn't do anything. Now, we, we're in 2026 and we're the smartest, most educated generation in the world, and it's, oh my God, I can't believe that. Guess what? Oh, I can't say this. Now I'm going to say it. They didn't have babies all over the world without mothers and fathers. Can I speak some truths for a couple minutes? The marriage was reverenced. The dating was not about having sex. It was reverenced. And don't you dare, if you're one of those people I'm preaching about, don't you dare get mad at me. Don't you dare act like a dingbat. You own your mistakes. Own them. Don't get offended at me because of what you did. You own it. Can I preach for a second? You say, you're mad. I'm not mad. I'm sick and tired of watching the devil deceive people, and they get harder and harder in their walk with God. And before you know it, there's nothing of them left. I'm thinking of all these people out there. They lived on the fence. On Sunday, they had one foot in the church. On Monday, they had one foot in the world. And Tuesday, they didn't know where they wanted to be then. And on Wednesday, and you wonder why we live in a world of confusion. I'm not blaming the church. I'm saying confusion is confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Can I preach to you for a second? If you're not sure about your walk with God, you're confused. If you're not sure if your walk with God is solid, or if it's wet, you're confused. It's all confusion. Solomon, the Bible said he hated this world. You know why he hated it? He hated it because of vanity. Basically, what he was saying was, my God, everybody's all over the place, nothing sure. He said, he didn't hate being around all this stuff. And we live in that world, but we're the church. We have to be better. Don't tell me a young man and a young woman cannot have their purity until the day they get married. Don't tell me it can't happen. And yes, if you want to know, I was 25 and I waited until I got married. If you want to know. Just in case there's somebody out there. And I'm not criticizing people that fall in. You know what? That's what you don't understand. I'm not being critical. I'm trying to highlight how far we have fallen. How much we have become hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. And then even as apostolics. Well, that church does it. Well, my God, then let's go be like that church. Well, that church, well, they don't. Okay, well, let's just go be like them then. That's what so you might as well be one of those people in Elvis's crowd. Oh! Now, let me give you a little bonus for a second, young ladies and young men. Be proud of yourself for maintaining your purity. I'm not criticizing those that haven't, but I am telling you, and I'm not going to pander to that nonsense either. If you didn't, you didn't. Fix it between you and God. But I'm telling those that have, be proud of yourself and don't let anybody make you feel like you're anything less, because but see, you can't be like Lot. You can't pitch your tent towards Sodom and think you're going to be okay. You can't flirt around with sin. You can't get all touchy-feely and think you're going to be just fine. You got to have boundaries. You got to have lines. And I don't care if this world says we shouldn't have borders or walls. Jerusalem had walls around it. It's the first thing Nehemiah built. There's got to be walls in your life, and not walls to keep the church out, but walls to keep the sin out. Walls to keep the lustful people out. Walls to keep unrighteousness out. You can't pitch your tent towards Sodom and think you're going to be okay. God has given us more examples in the Bible than what we could even handle. We can't remember. We can't remember a percentage of them. And they're there. Achan in Joshua 7 and 21. You can throw that on the screen if you can real quick. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, clothes. I like those clothes. Got to have those best clothes. When I saw the best clothes there and 200 shekels of silver, need some money, money, money. Give me some money. I need to make more money, money. I can't be there, Pastor. I got to make money. And a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I coveted them and took them. Thou shalt not covet. But the Bible says, in the last days, men shall be covetous. One of the very commandments that we are to live by is one of the greatest struggles of the last day church, coveting. Gotta have it, 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 gotta have it. And my God, Amazon has made it possible. I recently made a visit to Starbucks. I know you wouldn't believe that. And while I'm sitting there, I'm just an observant person. I watch everything. That's why I know if you're paying attention in church or not. I watch. And so I watch one lady get up there, and she's sitting there. And I had my lovely wife with me that day. I suckered her into going with me, so I didn't have to feel guilty. So now we went to Starbucks. And I said, that lady right there, I said, she's depressed, and she's probably borderline on a divorce. I could see it all over her. I could feel her spirit. And she sat there. She gets her stuff. She goes. Another young girl comes, sits down. She stands there by the table, and I watch her. Know why? Because in our world, we're wanting, we're grabbing, we're moving, we're grooving, we're doing it all. We can't even sit still anymore. That's why people can't sit still in church. This whole coveting thing, this, well, you want it, get it. You want it, get it. You want to do it, you want to do it. We got to have discipline in the church. That's why we got to fast on Wednesday nights. And if you're a teenager here, you're not too young to fast. Or too old to fast. You can do anything you want to do. We got to stop babying our children and tell them you need to be involved in fasting. Why? Because you got to teach yourself discipline. Why? Because the world is going to offer you things. As you get older, they're going to keep offering you things. And you've got to teach yourself to say no. Now, just in case you wondered, I have never once been unfaithful to my wife. Not even close. Not one time. Ever. Ever. Why? Number one, it's not even because of the Bible. It's because I respect her too much. Actually, I don't even know if I'd put the Bible in that equation. I believe it. The Bible teaches it. You know why the Bible teaches it? Because some people need that. Where there's no sin, there's no law. See, the law is what makes sin. If the speed limit sign says 35 and you go 55, you're breaking the law. If there's no speed limit sign there, you can go 100 and you're not breaking the law. Well, in Ohio, God, my mind's failing me the terminology now. But everything, if it's not posted, it's 55. Just in case you didn't know. And so my buddy there, he's watching me. Hey, buddy. So the law shows up. Why? To tell us what is sin and what isn't. But listen, you don't need the law to have morals. The law is for people that don't understand morals. You don't need the law to tell you you shouldn't steal. I mean, so there's got to be a moral compass in you that says I shouldn't take something that's not mine, that I didn't work for. But the law says, just in case you don't have the moral compass, thou shalt not steal. You shouldn't need the law to say thou shalt not commit adultery. But just in case your moral compass or your flesh is too strong, the law says you can't do this. That's not bad. That's great. Thank God he didn't leave us hanging. Thank God he told us what to avoid and what not to avoid. You don't need the law to say don't covet your neighbor's wife. I mean, it should go without saying he married her, not you. Keep your eyeballs in your head and keep your eyes on your wife. But the law's there for when we get out of hand. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching is to always bring believers back into alignment. I've not condemned one person to hell tonight. I'm just trying to say, if we do not accept realities, we will become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It will deceive you. But this whole, all this mess we deal with now, oh, you're mean. That's a judgmental church. You're a mean church. Oh, I don't want to go there and all that silly stuff. Well, you're going to go to hell then. If you're not looking for truth, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be lost. I know I got to hurry. Don't pitch, listen to me. Would you hear me for a second? Don't pitch your tent towards Sodom. You will not be okay. You will not be okay. And before long, you will find yourself, all the ways of a man are right and just in his own eyes. Those are separate scriptures. Solomon said it twice. Both of them, he talked about they're all just in your own eyes. The other ones are right in your own eyes. You will justify it. Do you know the way we find out whether we're deceiving ourselves or not? Through the preached word. That's how. And when we start to dismiss the preached word, we have nothing to bring us back into alignment and to rescue us. Nothing. We got to stay off the fence. The church has got to stay off the fence. I have no desire, nor do I want to, or can I be there to police your every move. You got to police yourself. Have you ever noticed there's not enough police officers in this world to arrest everybody? Not even if you don't have enough police officers in America to arrest everybody in Ohio, to arrest half the people in Ohio, to arrest 20% of the people in Ohio. So how do we keep law and order when we learn to police ourselves? When I walk into a store and I pay for it rather than just take what's not mine and then act like some victim when the police show up. Because the world has bred a bunch of victims. Everybody's a victim. I'll keep going. Achan hid the forbidden things in his tent or his house. I have a question for you. I'm hurrying. What's in your house that shouldn't be there? What's in your house that shouldn't be there? I don't know. I'm not accusing you. I'm asking you to police yourself. Why? Because if you don't, you will be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You will. What's on your television? What's on your tablet? What's on your phone? Would you allow me, or I allow you, to open up my tablet and just show it before everybody? Now, let's be honest. That would make you sweat real fast. God, I hope I haven't slipped up. God, I hope I haven't. Samson, he flirted. You come play. He flirted with Delilah. He was sent to attack sin, but instead, he wound up betting sin. You know what I'm talking about. Can I get in your business for a second? You know when you're supposed to teach someone a Bible study, you wind up sleeping with them? You know what I'm talking about? That is deep. You don't think it's never happened? Oh, it's happened. Why? It's not because, I don't know in every case it's because that was the intention, but you were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Someone warned you and you said, oh, no, no, that's not it. No, yeah, I'm done. I know what I feel. No, 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 and bam. And then you find yourself covering your sin. I'll stop it right there. I've seen a lot of that. A lot of it. Would you let me finish up and just be real? Or do we have to keep playing games and act like half the world's not going to hell? Do we have to play games and pretend like Satan's not out to destroy the church? Do we got to play games and act like we all walk in here and everything's just fine in our lives, or can we be honest? Samson flirted with Delilah. You don't date people in the world. Now, I'm going to give you a bone. I talked to someone a few weeks ago who's getting ready to marry. This is a preacher. Getting ready to marry a woman. And this woman, she wasn't always in church. Recently started going to church. This man's been preaching for a long time. And he's talking to me about his situation. And he said, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, now, just be real. He said, she's a believer. She doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but she's a believer. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I think you got a valid point. I do. I think you got a valid point. And then he said, he who believes and is baptized. He said she was just baptized a couple weeks ago. He said, now she's praying for the Holy Ghost. So what am I saying to you? I think you got some standing as long as they're a believer. As long as they're actively trying to serve God. But you can't date outside the world. We got young men and ladies that aren't here tonight because of their boyfriends and their girlfriends in the world. And I'm sick and tired of pretending like it's not happening. But you know, when the tire hits the pavement, Brother Johnny, we got to be the example. Do you understand that we, as the body of Christ, now I know you're going to think I'm being sacrilegious here, but by allowing Jesus to shine through us, we're the hope to the world. We are what people see when they think of Jesus. They'll never see his physical person. And whoever came up with the pictures that they've been selling for the last 1,000 years, I don't know where that ever started, because there wasn't no one painted one 2,700 years ago or 2,700 years ago or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. So they have me. They have you. I've always tried, and I can tell you my wife has too, to be a good example. We've tried very hard. I know we've failed at times. I know we have. But we've tried. Why? Because the world needs some good examples to look at. They don't need to see you leaving church on Sunday and talking down to your wife Sunday afternoon, calling her names. That's not the embodiment of Christ. They need examples. They don't need to see you ladies bashing your husband in the crowds of ladies that get together. They don't need to see that. My God, we're gonna try and talk to them about God is able of all things. And then we're gonna tell them what a heathen my husband is. I got news for you. We were all heathens before we came to Christ. All of us were. David lingered on the rooftop until Bathsheba showed up. He wasn't even looking for sin. He wasn't looking for it. He's just chilling. He wasn't out there fighting the good fight of faith like he should have been. Sometimes you just kind of let your guard down. You stop fighting. And you're lingering around. And all of a sudden, here comes this babe. Just shows up. And he knows, I'm the king. I can have whatever I want. Who's going to tell me no? Nobody. Another one of the... never mind. Another medieval story. I ain't going to tell you about another king. Don't linger around and not get involved in the church. And then you're going to find yourself just lingering until sin walks right across your path. And I assure you, Satan will make sure it happens. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to try and justify why it's okay. And then you're going to start off by saying, well, we're just friends. But I'm going to say, well, I'm going to exhort you daily, one another, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm not attacked. Listen to me. It's not your fault that Bathsheba shows up in your life. That's not your fault. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to go to church and do what's right, turn your life around. All of a sudden, Bathsheba shows up. That's what Satan does. He just wants to catch you lingering long enough to have her walk across your path, or him, until he gets you. And before you know it, she's your wife, her husband's dead, and you are at the middle of all of it. Or I'll say it this way, you are smacked in the middle of destroying two families because of the deceitfulness of sin. That's what sin does. It destroys. It destroys. It tears everything apart. And it doesn't stop destroying, because sin is like cancer. And until there's death, it still lingers around. And guess what? It's going to linger for generations. And the Bible says the iniquities of the father are visited upon the third and the fourth generations. And generations later, because we have no vision, we don't think about it. Generations later, it's still robbing your children of everything. It's done destroyed them. It's sucked everything out of them. And you'd rather call a doctor when they start cutting than have a prayer meeting. I feel the Holy Ghost. Rebuke that spirit in your house. Rebuke that foul demonic spirit. The same spirit that Elijah confronted with those 450 false prophets, they cut themselves. It is a spirit that has lingered around for thousands of years. But we can hide it. Nobody sees the scars. I got three more. Two more in the scripture. Judas, his obsession with money. He couldn't kick it until one day he felt like it was perfectly okay to take 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus off. Well, you know, and I guarantee he reasoned within himself. That's why Judas hung himself, because he reasoned within himself. He thought, well, they're not going to do anything bad. They might just, maybe they'll muff him up a little bit and, you know, they'll let him go. But when he saw and he realized what he had done and they were going to crucify him, he was so overcome. He couldn't even bear to live, and he went and hung himself off a cliff. That is what happens when you don't get the lust and love of money out of your system. It will destroy your life. There's no job, and there's no pay raise worth me not being in the house of God on a Sunday morning. The Bible says Demas loved this present world, and he forsook Paul. Somebody Paul loved, somebody Paul brought up under his wing, under his ministry. I can tell you about that one. I can tell you about a lot of Demases. I still think about Brother Gowans. I still think about some of these men that walked away from God. Why? Because they loved this present world more than they loved righteousness, holiness, the will of God. I told someone today, I said, will of God, we would all agree is the most important thing, but I don't believe people want the will of God. I believe a very small majority of people want the will of God, because the will of God will regulate everything in your life. And I told them, the will of God rarely aligns with your will. Well, I don't want to go to church. Who cares what you want? What's the will of God? I will give you pastors after my own heart. What's the will of God? Well, I don't want to walk away from this career. Well, what's the will of God? I'd like to leave my wife. What's the will of God? I'd rather not do this. Or what's the will of God? If we really want the will of God, we learn to kill our flesh, deny ourselves. Well, Pastor, where's the fun in that? Listen, Moses said, how do you word it? Oh, I know it's right there. Rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, I would rather deny myself of some things, not enjoy the pleasure of sin just for a brief season, because you see where that takes you. I'm about done, but can I just be a little more honest? Oh, God, this is a hard one. Well, before you crawl in bed and pop out some children, just realize that's going to go real fast. That's a real short season of enjoyment there, and it could ruin the rest of your life. Someone got mad at me once. I'm not going to regret having my babies. I never said that. But all I said is, don't be a victim. You made a choice. Don't be a victim. I'm not saying every single parent made that choice. I know things have to happen. I got to cross every T and dot every I. I understand some things happen. I understand there are men that walked out. There are women that walked out. I understand some people lose life. I understand everybody's not in a situation because of a choice. But I'm talking to the ones that are. God can't help you until you look at yourself and acknowledge where you went awry. His old song says, it's me, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's not Matthew, it's not Kenny, it's not Annette, it's not Keith, it's me. I'm the one that needs prayer tonight. I'm sure they do too, but right now I got to take care of me. I need prayer. Why? Because I don't want to fall into the pleasures of sin. Proverbs 6:27 is my last verse. Throw it on up there for us. And then put my title screen back up. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer is no. You cannot take fire in your bosom and not think you're not going to get burnt. You cannot flirt with sin. You cannot step out of God's will and think you're going to be okay. You will not. It's not possible. You've got to keep the Lord close to you. Yes, you may have to deny yourself a little bit, big whoop-dee-doo. That's nothing compared to your eternal promise and your eternal reward. But see, we do not get our eyes on heaven. We keep our eyes on everything else. That's why we forget so easily. Heaven. That's where I'm headed. That's what I'm living for. I'm living to be saved. I'm living to be with the Lord forever. I'm not going to allow the pleasures of sin and of this life to wrap me up long enough to make me hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is a liar. Sin is a liar. Satan is the father of all liars. If he tells you it's okay, he's a liar. If he says in your ear, you'll be okay, he's a liar. If he says nobody will have to know, he's a liar. If he says you'll be fine, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a father of liars. But truth is always enlightening. I'm finishing. The Bible says we're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's not salvation. That's the moment the word illuminates your life and you begin to see right and wrong. You begin to see light and darkness. You now understand sin. It's almost like the firmament that God separated from the heavens above to the earth below. A clear line, but Satan has blurred that line so bad. So bad. He's made us think that everything's okay and God understands. And if the Lord was not a mean God, God wouldn't do this. And now it's, I mean, there's millions of people believe there's no hell. Millions. Why? Because somebody decided to try and live on the fence. Would you stand with me? Exhort one another daily while it is called today. If anything I said offended you, I'm just trying to be obedient to the word. And you can't be obedient to the word without being truthful. And the Lord knows I do not stand here in judgment towards any person. I have my own past. But I also have my own future. And I'm not with God's help. I'm going to be careful how I say that. I'm not going to let the enemy destroy what God is already establishing. Doesn't matter how strong you think you are. I will get up like every other time. All right, just give me one more second. I get up. But the strength of the Lord had left him. It's only the strength of God that gets us up every day and keeps us on the right path. But when we're living in sin, it separates us from God. And we forsake his strength. We no longer enjoy his covering. And one day, I don't know what happened, Pastor. I used to have a desire. I used to be on fire, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm pleading with you today. Just keep yourself pure and honest before God for a few minutes before you leave this building tonight. I'm not saying we've got a church full of sinners. I don't believe we do, but I believe we got a church full of people that Satan is trying to dangle some carrots in front of you. He's trying to weaken your resolve. He is trying to water down your holiness. He's trying to make you feel like you're okay when you're not. And the only defense you have is your honesty. So I want to, before you step out, I want to invite you to come. I'm not saying if you come, you're sinning. I'm saying if you come, you're saying, I don't want myself to become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't want to allow it to wreck me and destroy my life. I don't want to find myself There are too many people, folks, that have walked away from God. Too many people that are no longer here and they should be here. Too many people. Why? Because they became hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know why? Because somebody wasn't exhorting themselves them every day like they're supposed to. When you get a phone call, please don't be offended. It's because I'm trying to exhort you. And guess what? If you feel like you need to exhort me too, call me up and say, Pastor, just want to tell you, stay on the straight and narrow. I'm not afraid. I need it from time to time myself. I need someone to pinch me, slap me a little bit. Gracious, gracious Father. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for a church full of people that love it. God, let it, I pray, let it help us right now. Let it minister to our spirit, oh God. Lord, let it speak to our situation, I pray. If there's anybody here, God, that's weary in their relationship, God, if there's anybody that's wavering, even just a little bit, if there's anybody that's grown a little cold, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you let the strength of the Lord overshadow them and you let it cover them, oh God. And let your victory, God, dance about them. And let your joy and your peace, God, be their shield and their strong tower tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. We need the Holy Ghost, God, in this house. We need the Holy Ghost. We cannot have church, oh God, without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.